1-1, swing, fly ball toward the gap in left center, caught on the run by Scott. Hayes stays to tag, he'll come in to score. Henry Davis knocks him in, and the Pirates are on the board. It's 1-0 in the eighth. Tapped up first, they're coming home. Horwitz to the plate, the tag, called out. With two outs, here's the pitch. Strike three, call! He threw that curveball, and Donovan took it for the final strike, and Bednar is saved 12 in a row. And the Pirates, their first five-game winning streak of the season, they win by the narrowest of margins, but it all counts the same, Neil. They win over the Cardinals 1-0 tonight.
Joe Block fired up, and he should be.
I'll tell you this much, Bob. And you look wonderful. I love the hat. It says Sunday Golf.
Sunday Golf, baby.
What does
every
that mean? Where is
Sunday.
It from?
It means,
just a fun sort of hat?
Yeah, just a hat that says every day should be Sunday, and we should be golfing. And the sun, which is out bright today for a change.
For the next week, we can do that. We should golf today. You have to work, Colin Sick.
Colin Sick. I knew it was coming. Austin, that's what he says to me all the time.
Colin Sick, Bob.
How can I call in sick if I'm sitting here talking to you for 4 hours
and all of a sudden
comes I get
on
sick?
Suddenly,
can
Bob.
I blame you for my sickness?
No.
Can I say I've had four? I have a Starkey flu.
Yeah, just say you were feeling great, and then at 11:30 you started having more blowouts than the 1960 World Series.
That could happen at any time.
It could happen at any time. That's exactly my
That's why
point.
I carry toilet paper in my golf bag.
I'm telling you,
it's
and I've told you before, the golf diaper is where it's at, Bob. You and I could sitting pretty.
We could actually do an ad about it.
We could.
Hi, Joe Starkey, Bob Pompiani. When you get older, you want to play golf, and you know what your limitations are. So therefore, make sure you pack this in your bag. Rip it open. It's a diaper. Yeah, don't make fun of it yet until you're out there stranded with nowhere to go. This diaper saves time and effort and will make sure that you get through your round of golf.
Off the tee, take a pee in your golf diaper, Bob. I'm telling you, limits. I'm telling you right now, Bob. I'm not kidding.
Do it.
It sounds funny, but there's a lot of golfers older than us. Us.
You want to shoot?
I mean, I'm liable to blow out at any time.
This could happen at any time.
I won't say the courses I've blown out at, but there have been a couple. Sweet. And to have a diaper on the course, like a built-in diaper.
Yeah.
Where all
now,
you do is, you know,
have to make sure that it wouldn't like interrupt your swing or.
No, it's disposable. When it happens. You take the diaper and you throw it out.
Throw it out on a treeless venue like Oakmont?
Well, they still have do they have garbage cans?
You've got to create something.
No,
that
we make it like a hazmat suit to where you just you wrap it up in plastic and put it in your golf bag till the end of the round.
But at some point you have to take it off and take your pants off. I'm saying when there's a treeless.
No, that's the whole point. It's a built-in diaper. You start the round with it in there, in case of blowout. Blowout happens.
There we go.
You refasten your golf diaper, a new one. You carry two to each round. There's millions to be made here, Limits, is there not?
No, there's
not.
I
can see an Instagram promo coming up soon.
I don't see it, guys. I don't know. I don't think I see it.
You haven't been there yet. Until you are, you don't understand.
Maybe, Limits.
I mean, I'm sure there is for some clientele. Like, there's probably a demographic that it could work for, but how much profit are you trying to raise here?
We're trying to become rich in golf for the rest of our
lives.
And
I don't think you're going to get that rich off of it. I'm just giving you my honest opinion.
Everything else good, Limits?
Everything else is wonderful. Happy hump day, guys.
Yeah.
Fourth of July Friday.
How about that?
Nothing like a good hump day, Bob. And yes, the 4th of July coming up. You working on the 4th of July?
No.
At neither job. Good.
Yeah. Are you?
I don't know. I haven't checked the schedule. It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. Holidays are just same as every other.
It's a nice day, though. More than anything, it's... Are you working?
Yeah.
Oh, you sound depressed.
I'm not. I'm doing Pirates pre and post. I'm excited for that.
Well, that's where we begin today. And why don't we begin there?
Yes, we should begin there.
Well, here's the story. To me, anyway. To me, in talking with Dr. Adam Crowley before the show, he agreed, and so did Harry Callis. Bob, there were little nuggets in that game. It was a great baseball game.
Really well played.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. But I saw in the crowd and in the vibe, and I was watching it on TV, I was not among the crowd, that yet again, I'm reminded that if you win, they will show up. I saw that last night, and it doesn't take much. I used to be among those saying back in 2000 through 2012, or 11 anyway, oh, the Pirates have lost a generation, maybe generations of fans that they'll never win back. You know what it took to win them back, Bob? 2 months of winning. I can't remember whether it was 11 or 12. Both years they were winning, and then they folded down the stretch. But CNN commissioned me to do a story, I think in 2011, when they got off to a pretty good start, of baseball's back in Pittsburgh, and a Pittsburgh kid is helping lead the way. And I remember there were lines on the Clemente Bridge because they were about to sweep the Cardinals in a key series. Mm-hmm. And what I learned then is that this is more than anything an event town. And if you're winning, people show up and people go crazy. And it is, I think, a town with deep baseball roots.
It's a baseball town.
They don't have to win much to bring people back. People will get very excited. And even last year, it was starting around August when people were saying, and the Pirates were winning at the time, they were in the wild card. It's hard to remember that this was actually true. But last year, right around now, they were in the hunt right into almost the middle of August. Bob, I don't think it's going to take much to get this town fired up for baseball again. However, it's the same thing as when we talk about, oh, all they need is one big hitter. That seems like a small thing, but it's a case of so close and yet so far. But I was reminded of it last night, that this town is starved for a winner in baseball, and they will come out again if the Pirates win.
No question. I've said all along, and I will remain true to this, I think it is a baseball town. Certainly not as big as football. There once was a time when it was bigger than football until the 1970s came along, and then the Steelers took center stage and have remained there. But people love baseball. Summertime activity, there's not a lot going on. And if you give them a product that they can be proud of and want to be a part of, it's the same philosophy that you have when you go to a bar and you see two bars side by side. One has a line out the door around the block. The other has nobody in it. The people will stand in line to go to that bar as opposed to the one that's wide open. They want to see something. And you're selling that product. That's why the Savannah Bananas are big right now. It's one of those things that people love events and people like fun times. If you can make fun and winning together. And again, they blew an opportunity this year, in my view. Looking at this pitching, the way it's gone, last five games, four runs allowed. Forget the hitting for a second. That's been the common thing throughout the course of this year. Their pitching has been good enough to win a lot of games, and they haven't done it. Skeens is a perfect example of that. So is Mitch Keller. Both have had better starts, quality starts, and most pitchers in baseball have nothing to show for it. That's on their offense. If they had just done it from the beginning and done something in this offseason, I think they would have been a wild card contender, very least.
So do I. I really do. And here's the things I think they have going for them right now. Obviously, starting pitching, right? We all agree on that.
Yes. No doubt.
The bullpen, I was looking at some numbers today. Now I can't remember who wrote them in which publication, but the bullpen has been outstanding.
Mattson's been a revelation.
I mean, outstanding. When's the last time Bednar allowed an earned run? So I think they have the pitching. That's the hard part. The offense is coming around now. I still don't believe in the offense. Obviously, they need a big bat still on this team. I think they have the pitching. I also think they have the manager moving forward. This guy has a winning record now. He's 18-9 at home. 18-9. They're plus 23 in run differential. That's not a tiny, tiny sample size. What is he, 25-24?
25-24.
Is that right, Limits?
I will remind you, though, Derek Shelton was over 500 well into July last year, too.
Sure.
And then, so, I mean, it has to be over 162. And what we've seen is a great start. You're right. Donnie Kelly's pulled all the right moves right now.
My point again, Bob, is I don't think they're that far away. People called me crazy a month ago when I said that. When you have the hard parts figured out, please, please, please go out and get a bat. Use some of the pitching to get a bat at this deadline. Do you agree?
Yes.
They should act like they're adding. Not for a rental, obviously. Not that kind of acting like we're a contender. But acting like we're a bat away from something special here. A bat or two away from something special. let's pretend we're contending, but with the caveat, the bats that we bring in have to be signed for a while, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. This is going to be the challenge. It's not an easy challenge for Ben Cherington because he's also on a fine line of where his career is headed here. So, the bottom line here is they have to make prudent moves. They have to get bats, not just now, but also in the offseason that will enhance what they've done pitching-wise. And I think they can be. I don't disagree with you at all. I think we've seen it. I mean, they've swept some pretty good teams. They've been in just about every game. You don't see them getting blown out like the Colorado Rockies.
They've become watchable again. They've become entertaining. They're entertaining under Don Kelly.
And I'll tell you something.
They're factually a winning team under Don Kelly.
What they did last night was what they needed to do all season long and haven't, which is play fundamentally sound baseball, make plays when necessary, don't give away runs, and they did that all last night.
Nice at-bat by Henry Davis.
Yeah, to go down and get that one. That was not an easy pitch to hit.
Very nice at-bat.
And a couple of nice defensive plays. Give Tommy Pham credit. He leads all outfielders, left fielders, in outfield assists, and he has one of the best left field records defensively this year than anyone in baseball. Now, he hasn't hit, so you need that part of it, but he's played a good defensive left field.
Now, mixed in with all of this is some people's lament, and I do hear this, like, oh, my God, they finally start playing well. And now they're going to start unloading some of the guys who are helping them. Bednar being a prime example. Some other guys. There should be 8 or 9 guys who are at least on the block. Would you agree with that, Bob? And what do you think of the people who say, you finally start playing well, you finally start winning a little bit, you're playing entertaining baseball, and now it's time for a fire sale?
Well, again, these are people that I don't think are going to be part of their future anyway.
Bednar, Santana.
Yeah, I think you can find closers. If you, again, with the thinking that you can get something in return for them, the key is what the return is and does it work out. Ben Cherington's history has suggested that a lot of these trades have not worked out because the return has not worked out. So therefore, you have to make sure, and if it means moving some of those guys, they're the one team that seems to find closers in a lot of different places. They've gone through a ton of them.
That is true.
So
depending on what you could get. But Bednar, he might bring back a useful piece, but he's not bringing back the bat you need.
Well, who will of the people you're going to trade?
Maybe Bednar combined with Bubba Chandler.
Well, see, I would rather...
Combined with an Ashcraft, combined with a Mitch Keller.
You're going to have to give up some pitching to get what you want. It can't just be what they have on their roster right now. Those guys out there and the other teams want blue chip prospects. And right now, Chandler's number 5. Connor Griffin's moved right up into where is he, like, one of the best in the Baseball America pipeline.
Baseball America just ranked him number 2, the second best prospect in all of baseball behind Roman Anthony of the Red Sox.
So how about that? So now
he's untouchable, obviously.
Yeah,
and he's what they need.
But you also have that guy Barco, who's moved up into the top 100, I think, as well.
Yes.
Barco, he's a good young pitcher.
He's pitched better than Chandler has.
But you're
going
to have to give up
now
some of these blue chip guys to get a blue chip bat. That's as simple as it gets. It can't be IKF. It can't be whomever else you want to throw out there. It's got to be somebody of value to these teams moving forward.
But the bottom line, or maybe the bigger picture, I should say, is like I have always said, if you're among those who have just become embittered with the Pirates and vow never to go back to a game, I don't blame you one bit. One bit. However, my experience tells me, and yours too, I'm sure, Bob, and between us, there's probably about 100 years of it here, is that once they start winning, you're going to come back. 412-928-9370, if they start winning, I should say, you're going to come back. 928-9370. This town is dying for a winning baseball team. Just dying, starving. I remember when the wild card game happened, asking Josh Harrison about that atmosphere that night. This was 5 years later, and he said that was 20 years of pent-up rage in that building. And that's just how it is. And I feel like they're close. Am I crazy? I really do feel like they're close. I feel like when you can show up most days with good pitching, and the bullpen is more important than it's ever been, because good pitching might only mean, like it did last night, 5 innings from your starter. But they have a good bullpen too. if you show up every night with good pitching, again, for the millionth time, you have figured out the difficult part of this in baseball. Please go out and get more hitting. 928-9370. Are you going to come back? Would you come back? Did you enjoy last night's game? It felt like a tense game. The Cardinals were the opposition, which helped make it so. That's why it was also symbolic to me last night, Bob. I'm not predicting a money ball run this year by any means, but what if they did win 20 in a row? Can you imagine that, Bob?
Yeah, that would be crazy. It would be the talk of baseball, even though it wouldn't necessarily mean that they're going to be in position to still get into the playoffs. But, you know, the sad part of last night is Paul Skeens didn't get a win again.
I know.
And this guy's never going to get a win. He's 4-7 with a 2.03 ERA in six games against the Cardinals. He has a career 1.77 ERA and no wins. And for whatever reason, after 37 runs in four games, they got nothing until the bottom of the eighth. But, hey, they got back-to-back shutouts. They've given up four runs in five games. I mean, that's as winning baseball as you can get against decent teams, too.
10 games till the All-Star break. All of that. Limits, where do you stand with this? You're a loyal fan anyway. You go even when they're losing, right?
I go more when they're winning. There's no doubt about that. As Harry didn't turn off the ringer in here. Thanks, Harry.
Bob, does Harry sabotage the show, do you think?
No, I just think he's forgetful.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So the way I look at it, and they do have good pitching depth. I think we might be over-exaggerating how much they have, but they definitely have enough to be able to go out and make a big trade. Their offense, for me, we're starting to see like those peaks and valleys that you get in the course of a baseball season where Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier, the likes of the veterans that Ben Cherington brought in that told us, hey, these guys eventually are going to hit, our surface level stats tell us so. We're starting to see the positive wave that mostly everybody outside of the White Sox last year and the Rockies this year typically see. Now, for me, I'm enjoying it. I love being able to watch this last five-game stretch. I was at the game on Friday, and my gosh, there goes the ringer again.
That's okay. It's
that
not
means that people. That means that people want to chime into the show.
People want to talk. Go,
that's
go,
very
take
important.
The phones. Limits. Your,
I'll do that.
Your opinion is well valued on this show, as we know, Bob. Why does Limits say that the pitching depth is overrated, though? I wonder, Bob.
I don't think he said that. I think it's
he
not
did
as
say
not
that.
As
those were his exact.
Not what I said.
He said
I did
not
say
as
over.
Deep. He
somewhat
said not as
overrated.
Deep.
I did not say overrated at all.
Depth,
I said we're overestimating the depth that they have.
How is overestimated depth. Different than overrated?
No, I'm going to support Austin on this one. He said the depth is overrated potentially, and I understand that because you think you have a lot of pitching until two guys have a Tommy John surgery and you're down. Now they need Jared Jones to come back, right? They need him. They need Chandler to come up, be what he is.
I'm not sure how overestimated is different from overrated, Bob, but I'll continue. Please. Or you'll continue.
No, I think they have pieces to move, but I also think you have to be careful. It's a value now to get bats. If you trade someone and you don't get a good return, all of a sudden that's a wasted opportunity. Like, I think all of a sudden Horwitz is making me think that that's a pretty good trade for Luis Ortiz.
I told you, Bob, didn't I?
Yeah, you did tell me. And I thought at the time, I wanted, he was injured, his wrist, I don't know what was going on with him, but now that he's playing, and he made two terrific plays, one last night on the throw to the plate, which had to be perfect, a good tag by, and we can't talk about them without talking about Davis's defense and how it's gotten better and better and better. There was once a time, don't you remember, Joe, when they were saying that, he's not a very good defensive catcher, we were okay with that as long as he hit. Well, his defense has become his strength. And that's not necessarily a good sign because they need his bat to come alive too. But it's good to know that he's worked at it to the point where he's very solid behind home plate.
Well, let's go back to the overestimation of the pitching depth. Seriously. Because I see Skeens, I see Keller, I see Chandler,
Jones.
Barco, Ashcraft, maybe Majinski. I love Majinski's arm.
Majinski may
Jones.
Be a closer.
Is Oviedo going to be ready at some point?
Again,
but more.
But again, that's an example of when your depth is compromised because of injury.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Well, they haven't even dipped into the minor leagues, and they've already compensated. They have at least two guys out in Oviedo and Jared Jones, and look, they're still fine and still have tons of
depth. Oviedo, Jones, we've had a ton of discussions about trading Keller, and I think that's probably more likely than not at this point. I don't think Majinski's a starter. I think he's probably a reliever.
He could be a closer.
How about Ashcraft?
He has the stuff. Ashcraft could be a good starter.
I think one of Ashcraft or Burrows is likely a reliever. I think Ashcraft may be more of a starter. I like Barco as a starter, and
Thomas
I like Chandler
Harrington
as
came
a starter.
Up and he didn't
and
like,
I like Chandler as a starter.
He reminded me a little of the old Blomqvist when he came up. All these expectations, yeah. And Harrington didn't deliver. It was a short sample size, so I'm going to give him a pass.
They got to make sure that they can get Harrington right, because look at Quinn Priester. Same type of pitcher.
See, that's,
he's gone to Milwaukee, and now he's figured it out.
Well, Harrington has also shown a propensity and probably the only thing he's done well, really, for finding veteran pitching. So what's the moral of your story there? That their pitching depth is, you say, we've overestimated it, so you wouldn't dip into the high end of it to get a bat?
No, that is not what I said. I said that if you do trade Keller, and I am somebody who is in favor of that to acquire a significant bat, you're looking at a rotation of Skeens, Bailey Falter, and a bunch of question marks because Jones is still hurt. Oviedo's still hurt. Keller's no longer there. Heaney's going to get traded at the deadline. You're banking on Chandler and Barco, who we just frankly have not seen yet.
I mean, I don't even know that Mitch Keller alone gets you the kind of bat you're looking for. You have to go big here, Bob. Big.
Well,
you have to attach Keller to Bednar
about,
or attach Keller
okay,
to McKellar a pitching
Keller could be part of a
high-end
deal
prospect.
That gets you a big bat.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Because he is signed at, for most people, a very franchise-friendly price, and he delivers every time he's out there. He goes
he's
six
making
innings.
Keller sound like Justin Verlander. He's
no,
not going to get you a bat
but,
by, your, by himself.
For someone who needs somebody at the deadline to be a starter, a reliable starter,
yes, he's
that's
a nice
value.
Pickup. He's
yeah,
a nice pickup.
And someone might be willing to overpay for that. If you're close in the standings, close to a playoff spot, you need a starter because of an injury.
Especially in a seller's market where 25 teams currently are still in position to potentially make a playoff spot. It is a seller's market. There are not a lot of sellers.
And New York Mets, with all their injuries, that's what I'm talking about. They're a team that may overpay. Three of their starters have been out with injury.
And
they
by the way,
use Mitch Keller right now.
The Pirates also have a million other pitching prospects because they've drafted in the top 10 every year, and they're going to draft, what, six this
year? Yeah, but we haven't said that about their hitting prospects.
But we have about their pitching prospects, and
that doesn't
six
mean
this
they're,
year.
That doesn't mean they're all going to
and they're
going to
draft, right, but they have a stockpile of guys.
And that's when
guys.
You trade them, when they still are untested up this
sure.
level. And
yes.
people look at them based on those rankings you talked about, Austin, with yep. the baseball pipeline. All this guy's
then
number.
Then we agree on that. Listen,
yes.
if we've overestimated their pitching depth, then they're in real trouble going into the
no.
future. You might
we
as well not even have a future.
I don't think that's what he meant. What he meant was you overestimated the depth when it comes to guys who haven't proven it yet and guys who may be injured. Then your pitching becomes – look at the Mets. Again, I'll show them as the example. They have a starting – rotation that's a very good one when healthy, but they haven't been healthy.
I'll take so my now, chances.
Thank
I'll
you for clarifying, Bob. That's exactly what I mean. I appreciate it.
What do you mean?
You're welcome.
Exactly what Bob just said.
What you say it in your own words. I don't know what you said.
What I'm saying, Joe, is again, I look at this rotation that they have, and I know that we're still looking ahead towards the future and towards 2026.
Yeah.
But Jared Jones is still going to be hurt for a large
He's
portion.
Hurt right now, and their pitching's great.
Yeah, Heaney will be gone. We're talking about trading Keller to be able to acquire a bat.
Right, and Charrington
and
has shown the ability to replace Andrew Heaney with another
yeah,
Andrew
with one
Heaney.
Yeah, guy. And again,
right. okay.
so you're talking about schemes.
Keep going. Keep going.
You're talking. Here's the other caveat that we haven't thrown in.
Right.
Other than those two guys, Oviedo and Jones, they've stayed healthy. Knock on wood. Bailey Falter's been healthy. Heaney healthy. Keller healthy. Skeens healthy. Typically in the course of 162, that doesn't happen. And you have to go through a significant amount of pitchers to be able to make it work. So we have also not been able to see Burrows in an extended stretch, Ashcraft in an extended stretch. What I'm just saying is pump the brakes on saying they have like 12 guys that they can trade.
Who said that?
You're making it out to be
12
that.
Guys they could trade to get
I
a big bat?
I just threw
bat?
A number out. Not 12 guys for a big bat, but 12 guys like in your system that you could like legitimately say, yeah, I'd be completely fine with him starting a game.
I'd take my chances
true.
To bring in a big bat. I can tell you that. I would give up Bubba Chandler in a second
and
to
I
get
didn't
a big
say
bat
that.
In here.
Where's Bubba Chandler, by the way? I think he dipped. He was number 2 overall behind Roman Anthony at one point, and he's had some struggles down there of late. So I'm just curious where that is. You know, while you look that up, you know, I think they have a surplus, let's put it that way, at least perceived surplus right now of pitching, which can help them in their attempt to get hitters. That's what you want. You want people to think they have all these guys in there.
Yeah.
You may, and your scouts may disagree or agree with how
Here's
Hunter Barco is ranked, but they may like him and are willing to, you could trade him.
Absolutely, you could.
And get something if they believe he's the kind of guy. So
you could combine him with Mitch Keller and Bednar. I'm not interested in more Billy Cooks and Nick Yorks.
No, it has to be
and all these other guys.
A legitimate bat.
It has. They need a star bat.
Right.
Period. They need a young star. We've seen guys get traded. We saw the three-time. Has Arias won three batting titles in a row right now or two? I don't know. We saw him get traded. We've seen Devers get traded. We see other young guys, fairly young, high-impact bats on the block or perceived to be on the block. Vladimir Guerrero, they talked about for 2 years as a guy people could go out and get. Rooker from the A's was a guy people could go out and get.
Yeah, well, those are the kinds of guys I would like right now. Rooker would have been the guy last year.
They don't need to trade Hunter Barco for a guy at AAA who has a pretty good profile. They need a young, high-impact bat, and they need to be doing whatever it takes to get one, other than skeins. Other than skeins. Whatever it takes. So however we view their pitching, I mean, I think everybody in baseball views it as the Pirates have a
surplus
of pitching.
That's a good word. That's the word I would use, surplus, because a lot of it is unproven at the major league level yet.
And I still would maintain that they're not far away.
I don't disagree with that. I think the same thing. Watch how they play. Donnie Kelly has energized them, I think, and he's also made right moves to send messages in his own way. While he let O'Neill Cruz get away with standing in center field, the next time he did something he didn't like, he benched him. All right, that you need to do that once in a while. And I think it's gotten Cruz's attention.
I think he manages the bullpen way better than Shelton.
No question. He's willing to make quick changes if necessary, but he's also willing to let a guy go for three innings out of the bullpen.
Would you agree with that, Limits, that he's better with the bullpen?
Correct. He definitely
has been. I think that Kelly has brought the Pirates back to what they are, really, at this point in their development as a team, which is where Shelty had them going into August of last year.
Right.
So when you really look at it, how long's Kelly been here now? Has it been 2 months, Bob?
49 games, so I don't know what that is. It's almost 2 months.
Close to 2 months. Shelton had them there for 4 months last year. So 6 of the last 8 months, they've been right around a 500 team on the edge of the wild card. To me, that's where they are. I think the beginning of this season was actually the aberration, where maybe it was just the vibe of Shelty combined with guys like Reynolds not producing, and it just bottomed out. But for the most part, I think at this stage, who they are is right around 500. Would you guys agree with that? That's who they are?
I would. Yeah. And, you know, it broaches the question for me when we evaluate Cherington and what happens next. How much should there be thrown out there like, hey, what if Donnie Kelly was the manager since day one of this season? Should the GM have made a move last offseason to make Kelly promote him to be the manager? Whether it's even just a one-year trial run, where would this team be?
Are we sure that the GM made the move?
See, I'm not. I know the GM said that was the case, but I'm not 100% convinced. Just like how I wasn't 100% convinced that the Steelers owner didn't make the move on Canada.
It's just strange to me to think you wouldn't retain the GM that you're now letting run this critical draft again. And any time in your franchise's history, no matter what franchise you are, no matter what sport, is it the sixth pick this year? I think they have the sixth pick. You have that kind of pick, not only in the first round, but then you're high in every round.
Right.
You're letting that guy run your draft and a critical trade deadline, possibly, for just the stuff we're talking about. And then you all of a sudden say at the end of the year, okay, now you're done? That doesn't make sense to me that he would do that. I'm not saying I wouldn't do that, but I think Ben Cherington is coming back next year with Don Kelly.
I think you're right.
Unless there's a bottoming out.
Unless the trade deadline goes the wrong way and they don't get enough in return and it's perceived that those are bad trades, and then things may change. But generally speaking, at this point, I think he is, and I think Bob Nutting will look at some of the advances of certain players, like Nick Gonzalez. I think he's taken a step forward and shows
Horwitz.
You the kind of bat. Spencer Horwitz, that kind of deal.
Partially Davis.
Also,
we'll see about Davis.
And he's also done a pretty good job in bringing in pitching into the organization. So trades have not been good. This is going to be very interesting, this trade deadline, to watch what they do and how they do it.
Can we say that Cherington has done an excellent job with the bullpen?
I think they've done overall every year. They keep bringing in new arms, and they all seem to hit. I don't know who's, obviously it's his staff finding those guys, but he has to make the moves to get them. Yeah, I guess you can give him, I wouldn't say excellent.
No?
No. I think he's done a good job.
It's been they just had their best month in a decade. Their 2.48 ERA in June is the best since July of 17. I just look around and I see good arms all over the place. I think my opinion is he's done an excellent job with the bullpen. Limits?
I think it's been very good. You know, excellent is, you know, like an A plus for me, and I don't know if it's been an A plus just because of, I think they flubbed the Colin Holderman situation, and I know that he's hurt right now. I wonder if they're just trying to figure it out with him, with also his thumb injury still nagging. And Bob, also an update on that prospect list. So yeah. Baseball America has Chandler 10, Connor Griffin goes to 2.
He went from 2 to 10.
Oh my God.
And Pipeline just updated their list as well. They have Chandler 5, Connor Griffin 13, and Barco goes to 80. So Griffin, according to Baseball America, considered a significantly higher prospect at 2, where Pipeline has him 13.
See, but this is the subjectivity that comes with these sites. Everyone has a different feel for everybody. Every one of these guys, some of them like what they see, some of them don't, not as much. All we know is that when you have top-end talent, perceived to be top-end talent, teams would be willing to acquire it and pay for it, I think, handsomely.
Let me ask you this. Before we hit the calls, have you, by and large, enjoyed watching the Pirates under Don Kelly? Yes.
Definitely. They're definitely a better watch.
Let's hit a call or two, Limits.
All right, let's go to Scott. He is in Moon.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I don't know if you realize this. I was just looking at ESPN last night, and forgive me, I'm on DoorDash right now.
What are you bringing us?
Pirates are only 10 games out of a wild card right now.
Yeah, that's too much.
Look
how many teams they have to go over.
If they could get by the break down to like 7 or 8, say they make up 2 games between now and the All-Star break, would you legitimately give them a shot considering how they're playing now compared to how they were even just a month ago?
Well, you're assuming a lot here that this winning is going to continue.
I know I'm assuming, but like I said, just hear me out. Do you believe that it might not even be legitimate, but in the back of your mind, would you potentially try to be aggressive to maybe bring in a bat or two to try to maybe get you over the hump in the second half of the season?
Well, my goal would be to get a bat or two for the future. I don't know about this, you know, about this season, because again, I understand what you're saying, but I also know that they got a lot of teams to try to overcome here in this wild card
chase.
Yeah,
this season.
Right now, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams. If you assume all 8 are just going to tank, that's not going to happen. The Padres, the Giants, the Reds, the Diamondbacks, the Marlins even ahead of the Pirates at this point, so are the Braves. So,
Marlins have won 8 in a row, Bob.
Right. They're 9-1 in their last 10, so I get what you're saying, but all I'm saying is that I'm encouraged by what I see from Don Kelly, how his team reacts to him, and I think they've been close enough in most games where a bat or two, and this goes back to the beginning of the season, as you know, would make a difference. So hopefully they go out, and thanks for the call. It's a good one.
Well, they have 10 games before the All-Star break. It would sure help if they beat the Cardinals again.
And they got some bad teams coming up.
Well, you're right. They have, so I would say, mediocre, Bob.
I would say bad.
They have Seattle coming up. They're in the American League wild card.
And they have the home run king of baseball on their team right now.
The dumper. The big dumper. And then they have who? Texas, is it?
Yeah, Texas is struggling like they are.
Yeah, they're right around 500. And then Minnesota's 40-45. They've lost 3 in a row. What if they go 8-2?
But then later they have the Chicago White Sox coming to Pittsburgh.
Right.
They have.
What if they go 8-2 before the All-Star break, Bob? They'll be 45-52.
No chance. Too many teams to overcome.
It's too far.
They dug a hole that they cannot get out of.
This is about building toward next season,
right?
It feels like.
And you can get a lot
of... Although I always allow for a sports miracle to happen, don't you,
Bob?
Well,
this would be one of the biggest miracles of all time.
It would be Moneyball. They would write a book about Ben Charrington after this.
If they could climb over 8 different teams.
You could call it Money Ben, Bob, and then a movie. Who would be Ben Charrington?
Let me ask you something. Look at their record right now. You tell me the record that... Like, we're assuming... Do me a favor, Austin. What were the wild card teams' records last year in baseball? And as you look that up, I'm going to tell you that right now.
I'll tell you that right now, Bob.
Okay, tell me that.
The last wild card had 89 wins.
All right, for that to happen, the Pirates have 37 right now. What would their record have to be?
See, now you're getting into math, and that's problematic.
Well, 89 means...
Who would star as Ben Cherington in the movie Money Ben?
Money Ben.
Yeah. What do you think?
Ben Affleck?
That was my pick.
Limits, do you think Ben Affleck as Ben Cherington in the movie Money Ben if they win 20 in a row?
That was my pick. I think that it would work out well for them.
Well, I think that would be incredible. And then who's Don Kelly? Does he play himself in the movie, Bob?
You know, Leonardo DiCaprio has sort of looked like him a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That would actually work, yeah.
Money Ben.
I think Malzy could play Don Kelly. I think Malzy would do well.
He could. Well, he could certainly play Dan Muse. If they ever do it.
Or Joe Block.
Or Joe Block, right. But it's fun. It's entertaining right now.
It is. But again, I think you're getting a little ahead of yourselves to think they're going to get up all the way to the third wild card.
No, that's sort of crazy to think that.
So, we'll see.
Although, look at the Marlins. Look at the Marlins, Bob. Let me just...
Yeah, but
Let me just give you that.
Okay.
They're 5 games out of a wild card in the loss column. 5 little measly games in the loss column, which is the only column that matters. They're minus 72, and they're 38-45.
Right.
You have to be really, really bad, which the Pirates have been, to be out of it in baseball these days.
Right. Marlins right now have won 9 of 10, and they're still in a position where they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams to overcome, and that means they're going to have to continue to play 990 baseball in order to get there. They won't do it. And this is what the problem the Pirates will face. They're not going to be able to continue this kind of hot streak. I hope they do, but it's unrealistic to expect them to go whatever the record would be the rest of the way to get to 89 wins. I don't know what that means.
No, it's ridiculous to think that. I know, but you're also killing all the fun.
I'm not killing.
Usually, you help the fun.
No, I like the fun. I like the fact they're playing well.
What if they go 8-2 before the break?
Okay, where did that bring them?
45-52 going in.
Fine. Guess how many teams would have to lose to move up 10 games? They're 10 games out of the last wild card right now.
I've never known you to be a buzzkill to this
degree. I'm
not
a buzzkill. I'm trying to be realistic.
I am realistic.
You're not today.
You're being, well, how about this? The year before, 2023, all it took was 84 wins, Bob.
All right. That means 84, and they have 37. How many do they need? My math is bad.
I don't even know how to do that.
We're back. Pomp and Joe Show. As we roll along into 11 o'clock, and I know Joe wants to get into some quarterback talk, but we've been talking about the Pirates and what they've been doing, and what needs to happen at the trade deadline, by the way, if you don't know that date is July 31st. We're in July already. It's going to be here before you know it. And, Joe, in the past, we've seen them make trades before the deadline. They still, you know, qualify as deadline type of moves. Do you expect them to make moves before it gets to that point, before you have – if I'm them, I'm waiting to see, and I want to see if I can create a bidding war on some of these guys.
Well, yes, I do, to answer your question. And one of the names I find most intriguing right now is KeBryan Hayes. If I'm a contending team, an elite fielding third baseman, and for all the criticism of Hayes that I feel is justified for his offense, he's one of the greatest defensive players in Pirates history and one of the greatest defensive third basemen I've ever seen. He's unbelievable over there. I just think the bat is more important at that position. He doesn't need to give you much because he is such a great fielder. He's given you nothing until the past couple weeks. And for large swaths of his career, he's given you nothing. But for a contender, Bob, if you're going to tell me that KeBryan Hayes is going to be a decent hitter and an elite fielder, and a reasonably priced one at that.
I think more than reasonably priced for a team that has a lot of money to spend.
But I think he's very marketable at this particular point. Do you? And should they deal him? That's the conundrum now. Like, if he's going to be that, then you should want to keep him. But I'm not convinced he's going to be that.
Yeah, we've gone through this before where he's had nice months. A couple of years ago, it was in September, and it made you think that he had arrived. He's still not hitting for power, still just 2 home runs, but he's hitting the ball and putting it in play and driving in runs. But you also have to look at what teams would need something like that. I don't know what team has a vacancy at third base to the point where they need a regular day-to-day third baseman.
I mean, I'd have to look closer, but if there's not one right now that stands out, injuries could make sure that there is one between now and the deadline. Limits, let's hit some calls.
All right, first let's go to Scott, who's in the North Hills.
Hey, Scott.
How you guys doing?
Good, what's up, Scott?
Good. Hey, Joe, if you think Bob sounded like a negative Nancy, wait till you get me.
Listen, okay.
This team, this five-game streak is a total fraud. It's why I hate this whole thing that's going on with Nutting. I just wish they'd lose every freaking game and be done with it. Listen, the guys, Don Kelly, nobody would even know that guy's name if Schwartz and the Gonzalez wouldn't have broke his ankle. Those guys would have been playing from the beginning of the year. No, they would have never changed managers.
Wait, who was the first guy? You said
the guy on first base. What's
Spencer
Horwitz. Name?
Oh, you called
Horwitz.
Called him Schwartz.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, let me ask you a question. Because the fact that you're listening and you have passion for this indicates to me that you must want the Pirates to win, do you not?
Well, as a Pittsburgher, I do. Personally, I have a couple of bets against them this year, and I'm hoping they lose so they get a thing. But listen, if you look at it seriously, they hit a hot streak. Every team in baseball is going to win five games in a row. I mean, it'd be impossible to not win five, six games in a row out of 162 games.
The Marlins have just done that and more.
That's right.
What's your point? Because ours certainly isn't, they've won five games in a row. This is a really good team. Not one person has said that.
My point is anybody that goes down to that game today is a sucker. They're just giving Nutting their money. And
Now we get back to this topic. And I'll say this, that I don't blame anybody who will never go again. But I'm entertained by this team right now, and I don't think people who go to baseball games are, quote, suckers. Do you, Bob?
No, because I go and I like it. I think when you have grandkids and kids and you want to have nice moments and teaching them games, you get to see some other teams. No, I don't think that at all. I think it is what it is. It's an entertainment venue for a lot of people. It would be nice to win. This is from an owner's point of view. You should want to do everything in your power to win. You should spend more money. You should take losses to win because the valuation keeps going higher and higher. This is his problem, that he can't get beyond the numbers, I don't think, on all these levels. Put some money into it. You'd be surprised what happens on the other end. And they saw that in 13, 14, and 15.
Next.
All right, let's go to our friend Stephen Fabian in New York.
Fabian, how are you?
What's up, guys? How are you? Thanks for taking my call. Bob's former intern here.
Oh, my God, you're right. I haven't seen you in a while. How are you doing today?
Good. Listen, I agree with you guys on one point and disagree on another. First, I agree with Joe that this team's only a bat or two away. In my crude math, I've looked at the Pirates' losses from this season, right? If you give them four runs in all of their losses, there are 13 more wins this season. That flips their record from 37-50 to 50-37. Right?
Now, that's all it took was four runs. That's a very good point.
We should be able to score four runs. Another bat or two does that. Now, where I disagree is you guys were talking about trades. I think the strategy needs to be trade the guys like Mitch Keller as opposed to, say, a Chandler or an Ashcraft or whatever, simply because we're operating on, as we know, the Bobby Nuts shoestring budget here, right? So, like, you know, you gotta if we're going to give this team a chance on this budget, we got to trade the guys who are making the money. If you're telling me we don't go to Boston, Detroit, or Chicago and say, we'll give you David Bednar, we'll give you Mitch Keller, and then we'll throw in an IKF you can have for the playoff run, a utility guy. We can't get a good bat who's ready to go. You know, their number one hitting prospect who's ready to come up next year.
I don't know that it's about quantity. I don't know that it's about how many players you give a team. It's how good.
Well, the players are going to help right now for those teams. Again,
they can help right now.
You can tell Fabian's a very good intern, and he learned a lot, right?
Do you remember him well, Bob?
Yeah, I do. Now that you said his name, I mean, the voice would not have rung a bell. You know, it's hard for me because I haven't seen guys in a while.
They need to find their way to a star hitter. Or a high impact, you know, borderline star young hitter. They're out there.
But again, don't you think a team that needs these kinds of, you said three guys there, right? Keller, IKF, and Hayes. Is that what you put in
there? Bednar is what he said. Yeah.
Okay. If you're a team that needs those things, or you're checking those boxes, you'd be willing to sacrifice a good a high-end guy, or maybe somebody on your roster who's still.
Maybe, yeah.
Because those are things that you need moving down the stretch to try to win. And every, as we know, if you're close to winning, or at least perceive that you're close to winning, you'll do things that you probably shouldn't do. And that's what the Pirates did with Chris Archer.
By the way, you know, it shows that when the Pirates even start to win a little, that more people listen to the games. Bob, I know we were just talking to our boss, that there's just, it doesn't take much. That's really not an opinion. That's a fact based on history and based on numbers.
And there's nothing else going on in the summertime, generally speaking.
People are starved for it.
Right.
They're starved for it. And, you know, I just don't buy that line. You don't want to go to games, as I've already said twice today and a million times before. I don't blame you. But don't blame the people who do. I don't think everybody, you know, has to sign up for a Pirate boycott. I like going out to a game once in a while. Used to take my daughter all the time. They're not the only low-payrolled team in the major leagues. That's the way the major leagues are. Should they spend more? Absolutely. Nobody, there's not one person in this town who has been more critical for a longer time of Bob Nutting than me. But don't call me a sucker for paying for tickets for a baseball game, which I do a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't get tickets through the team. God knows that with some of the things that I've written and said. It's not like I call up the team and say, hey, can I get a couple tickets front row tonight for a baseball game? You know which finger I'd get for that one, Limits.
I could take a guess. I could ponder.
But I don't need to be called a sucker for going. And I don't think that their loyal fan base and the people who were sitting there last night, including that guy with the unbelievable mustache.
You see
at the
that
end.
Mustache? Yeah,
yeah. That's great.
It was almost a Raleigh Fingers type of effort. It was moving in that direction.
I don't think they deserve to be called suckers. I think what they are is loyal fans.
Yeah, they're passionate. They are.
And
the
you're
ones.
One of them. How many games do you go to?
I went to 19 games last year.
At an average of what per game would you estimate?
What do you mean? Like average
money.
Per
ticket.
Well, fortunately, I have the ballpark pass, but that's 50 bucks a month.
There
so
you go.
I'm talking about dollars a year at least.
There you go.
Yeah, but you have a good time. You hang with your friends, right?
That's not counting, you know, what you spend at the ballpark and stuff like that.
And if you've gone to games since Don Kelly's been the manager, you've seen 18 wins and 27 tries. So that's not bad right now.
No.
One more call before we have a brief intermission limit.
Packed lines right now, completely full. Let's go to Eric in Dubois.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Hello, Eric.
I wanted to say, hey. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. My wife is from Brockway, right down the road.
Awesome. Well, happy holiday weekend. Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. And I love what Don Kelly's doing. And I want to say, like, we have Detroit roots here in our system. Now, with Don Kelly, like, obviously the Jim Leland connection, we got Geno back. And I want to remind everybody that Detroit Tigers have the best record in Major League Baseball right now.
And the best pitcher, arguably, too.
Yes.
What's the point there, though? What's the point with that?
The point is they were six games under 500 on August 8th last year. And I'm saying that let's hope we sweep this homestand today, and then let's have a good road trip. Because that's where we have to start playing winning baseball. Is
Are
on
you
the
comparing
road.
Because the Tigers went through a lengthy rebuild, but I also feel compelled to point out they are spending $144 million compared to the Pirates, about $90 million or so.
I'm not comparing, payroll or anything like that. I'm just saying strange things happen in baseball.
Yeah.
The Tigers last year were six games under 500.
And they did put a lot of money, too, in their offseason. Yeah, all
and
of that's true.
They
you
also
can do
made
it.
The wild card last year.
Yeah, they went through a lengthy rebuild, and they switched regimes in the middle of that mm-hmm. rebuild. But they've also laid out it's still a bottom 15 payroll, mind you, at $144 million. They're only 18th in the league. They're only separated from the Pirates by 1, 2, 3 teams between them.
But that goes to
Milwaukee,
show you.
Milwaukee, Baltimore, and Kansas City.
You don't need to be $350 million payroll.
No.
As long as you spend more than they're spending, you have a chance. And listen, what's the difference? You said 144 to 90 cents, $50 million bucks roughly. That's two really good bats, I think, or at least two guys who can help you in a lineup.
I mean, yes. Yes. Here's among the bottom 15 payrolls, and there are actually more teams between the Pirates and the Tigers than I originally saw. You have bottom 15 payrolls. You've got Seattle, 44-41 in playoff position. Detroit, 53-32. St. Louis, 19th in payroll, 47-40. Reds, 44-41. Brewers, who are only two spots removed from the Pirates at $105 million. 40, they're 10 games over. Cleveland's right around 500. Tampa Bay, which is below the Pirates, are eight games over. So it's just not an excuse. It's just not. 412-928-9370. And you should lay out, you know, at least about $20 million more. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week with the General, General Patton. Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Your chance to win the card or cards of the week comes by going to our website, 937thefan.com, and going straight to our contesting page. General, I'm going to go with, I think, an Andrew McCutchen card as he closes in on Willie Stargell. Bob, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Brad Marchand.
Limits?
I'm going to go with a Tommy Pham card. Don't let Tommy Pham get hot. The family striking at the right time for the new grandfather, the general, newly a grandfather this week.
Congratulations, General.
Yes, congrats.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. Yeah, baby Archer born on Monday. First grandchild. Wow. Man, am I thankful for that.
You'll really love Archer.
It's a huge week. Not only did Archer come along, I might add that the Pirates are 2-0 since Archer started following them.
Beautiful. It's better than when Chris Archer was here.
I was going to say, Chris Archer, that's exactly not the one you want.
I was hoping you wouldn't make that link there.
I'm sorry.
This is our 250th card we've given away, and this is going to be one of my favorites, literally a top five card. We forgot about the Cobra. We're going to honor the Cobra.
Of course.
And we're going to take it up a notch in honor of Archer. We're giving you away a autograph, certified Dave Parker autograph from 1999 Fleer Sports Illustrated. They took a card and made it into what looked like Sports Illustrated covers. Everybody knows how great their cover art was.
Yeah.
The Cobra autographed this thing. It's certified, and it's going to be one of the best cards we've given away in a while on Starkey's Card of the Week.
Holy bird follicles. Thank you, General. That's perfect.
Oh,
of course, that's the card of the week. Thank you, sir.
All right. See you, General. Good luck and congratulations.
Thanks, Jeff.
Appreciate it. Yep. You guys have a good day.
There you go. An autographed Dave Parker card. Your chance to win it again, go to our website, 937thefan.com, and write to our contesting page. General Patton always comes through, doesn't he, Bob?
He does. Yes, that's a great place, man. Until you see it, you won't understand how big and wonderful it is.